All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. Did you bring your Bible? Okay, got your Bible. Luke chapter 8. We've read in the last couple weeks out of Mark 4, Matthew 13, and Luke chapter 8. Now, we're reading the same story in each one of them. It just says it a little different. And so I want to read this to you this morning and kind of do some review and go over some things and then also go on in a little bit farther into the parable. This is Luke chapter 8, verse 11. It starts out and says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rocks are those who hear the word, or hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root who believe for a while, and in times of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. And they bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to read your word. And Father, I pray that your spirit, Lord, would speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to receive the word that is spoken today by the Spirit of God. Lord, as I speak, Lord, I know that the Spirit of God is also speaking, and so I pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts today and minister to each and every one of us, and we give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, it says, in the very beginning there, it says that the parable, the seed, is the word of God. How many have ever wondered how to sow the seed? This is the word. Now, if we gave you a package of seeds, you could probably read the instruction on the back, and it says, okay, go out, till up the ground, poke a hole in it about 2 to 3 inches, whatever it might be for that seed, water it, cover it up, pant, tap it, do whatever you need to do, and then wait, and it'll grow. Okay? Here's your box of seeds right here. All right, now, honestly, if you are like us, you probably have seeds somewhere in a drawer, in the back of a cabinet, somewhere hidden away that is not growing because it's still in the package, right? It's still just sitting there. But I can guarantee you, if you take those seeds out of the package, once it snow's gone and it warms up a little bit and we can get into the ground, once we get to that point, then we can put those seeds that have sat dormant for however long they've been in your drawer, put them in the ground, and they're going to grow. Am I correct? All right, they're going to grow. Well, here we go. Are you ready? Because you got a package of seeds, a book of seeds in your lap if you have your Bible today. Now, it might just be sitting on the shelf, might just be sitting on the lampstand, might just be sitting on the table next to your chair. It might just be sitting on your desk. It might just be sitting there lying dormant. But the challenge for us is to plant the seed. All right? We got to plant the seed. It says over in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, it says, "The word is near you." What is the word? The seed. Okay? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." So, here is the word. Paul says it is near you and it is in your mouth and in your heart. See, how do we plant the seed? We speak the word of God. We have to say it. We have to say the word of God. God told Joshua, going in to take the promised land, years and years before this, he gave them this command in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This is in the New King James, and it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, how many like that idea of being prosperous and having good success? Okay, there is a qualification. The qualification is to speak the word of God. But and what I'm saying is, when we speak the word of God, we're coming into agreement with what God has already said. We're coming into agreement with what God has already said about this. Let me read this Joshua 1:8 out of a couple different translations. Now, you're going to have to listen because they don't have these translations up there on the screen. And the first one is the Christian Education Bible, and it says, "Never stop speaking about this instructional scroll. Recite it day and night so you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objective and you will succeed." The Easy English Bible says, you must keep on speaking about the words of God's law. Think about it, or think about what it says all the time. Be careful to obey it, then you will do well and you will win. Keep speaking the word of God. Keep repeating what God has said in his word. Come into agreement with what God has said in his word. One more. God's word says, "Never stop reciting these teachings. You must think about them night and day so that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed." What is the prospering and succeeding based on? Speaking the word of God. Speaking the word of God. If you're not going to put your heart into the word of God, then it's not going to come out your mouth. How important are the words that you speak? See, I think sometimes we just kind of nonchalantly go about our day. We say whatever we hear. If somebody else says it, we say it. We just kind of repeat what everybody else is saying, do what everybody else is doing, and we just wonder, why, God, is it not working? Well, let me ask you the question. Are you coming into agreement with what God's word says about that situation? Are you coming into agreement with what God says about your finances, your health, your family? Are we coming into agreement with the word? Are you planting seeds that are going to produce life? Or are we coming into agreement with seeds that are planting death in our life? It says over in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." This is scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So what he's saying, he says, the words that we speak will bring either life or death. And those who love it are going to eat the fruit of your words. You're going to eat the fruit of the seeds that you plant. So if you're planting good seed, you're going to love it because you're going to have life. But if you're planting and coming into agreement with the seeds of death, then you're not going to like it. you're not going to think this is such a good deal. You're going to wonder, why does everything bad happen to me? Well, the life that you're living today, if you were really to be honest with it, with yourself, are a product of what you said yesterday. Or maybe the day before or the day before. The life that we are living today is a direct result of the words that we spoke in the past. That's why he says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. If I want to succeed, then I need to come into agreement with the Word of God. If I want to prosper, I need to come into agreement with the Word of God. I need to speak these words and watch them grow. Now, Mark 11, 23 says, for assuredly, listen to this, for assuredly I say to you, this is Jesus talking to the disciples, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, if you pay attention to repetition when you're reading the Word of God, you will notice in this one verse, it says that we need to believe one time. And then it says in the King James and in the New King James, it says that we need to say three times. Somebody was preaching on this one time and they said, God wants us to do more preaching and teaching on the saying part than the believing part. Because there's believing is not necessarily the problem. I mean, everybody in here probably believes what the Word says, the Bible says, but we don't say it. We don't confess it. We don't come into agreement. The Scripture said, for whoever says to this mountain, that's the first says, whoever says to this mountain, we need to speak to the mountain. We need to speak to the obstacles in our life. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, there's the believing part, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Do you believe that there is life and death in your mouth? That you can speak death over situations? Just by your words, by your comments, by your remarks. See, what you believe and not doubt is usually the first thing that's going to come out of your mouth. Because the Bible says, Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we're faced with a struggle, we're faced with a trial, we're faced with obstacles in our life, the first thing that comes out of our mouth is usually what we believe. Now, that's not meaning that that's the only thing that we're going to say, because a lot of times we'll say it and then we'll go, wait, no, I better not say that. I better go find a scripture and find out what I should be saying. So then we kind of back up and we backtrack and we go back to the Word. Oh, well, this is what the Bible says. See, the first thing that comes out is usually the biggest plant, if I can use the garden analogy. It's usually the biggest plant in the garden. And so what we need to do is we need to learn to overcome that doubt. Now, for example, when you first asked Jesus to come into your heart, afterwards, there was probably some doubt. Am I really saved? You know, when Dale gave his testimony today, and he gave his heart to the Lord, If you were to sit down and talk to him, I can probably guarantee you that there were some doubts after that. The enemy came and said, nothing really happened. Nothing really took place. You were just jibber-jabbering, just talking like a kid. Nothing was going on. Nothing really took place in your life. Look, you're doing the same thing you always done. Let me read you a scripture. This Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, it says, the weapons of our warfare, did you know you had weapons? Do you have weapons to come against the enemy? All right? So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or are not fleshly or are not of the flesh. They are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, this particular passage is giving us our weapon to pull down strongholds. But now listen, we can build up strongholds too with the same process. The words of our mouth. The words of our mouth. So, if we go back to the analogy with being born again, the enemy comes and says, you know what, nothing really happened. And then somebody comes on and comes and talks to you and says, now wait a minute, look at this scripture. And they'll take you over to maybe Romans chapter 10. All right, Romans chapter 10. And Romans chapter 10, okay, I'll start with verse 8. That's where we read this earlier already. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. End of discussion. If you believe this and you confess this, the Bible says you will be saved. So if the enemy comes at us after we have invited Christ into our heart, we surrendered to him, believe in him, and he says nothing happened, you go back to this scripture right here and says, but I confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and I believe that I'm saved. Then you're saved. That's what the Bible says. Because one, it says the word is near you, even in your mouth. That is the word of faith. Faith is not something that we can see. It's something we believe. So I believe that I'm saved before I ever look saved. I believe that I am right with God before I ever act like it. That's taking the word by faith, believing what the word says. So I have to take the word by faith. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God or in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So every time you hear the word of God, probably this morning for some of you, are already arguing with me in your head. Are already saying, well, no, that's not what I believe. Well, that's not what I believe. Well, I have to go find out what somebody else said. Well, I have to have somebody else prove this. See, what's going on is the enemy is coming against the word of God. I've read to you all these scriptures. If you've got an argument with the word of God, that's the enemy coming against you, trying to build up and strengthen that stronghold in your life to continue to live the way you're living in the world, in the flesh. Satan will always come against the Word of God to try to get us to doubt, to try to get us to not believe the Word of God. Now it said, remember in our parable, says, verse 12 in Luke chapter 8, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. You got to believe the word of God so you can be saved. Now, this word saved is interesting. I'll just throw this out there for you. This word is called, in the Greek, it's called sozo, S-O-Z-O, and it means to preserve one in danger, to save, to rescue, to make whole, to heal, to be whole, deliver from bondage. So if you believe the seed of the Word of God, you can receive your healing because it says we're healed. That word sozo includes healing. That word sozo says deliverance. That word sozo says protection. All right here. If we will believe it. Now, if you want to sit and argue with it, that's up to you. But you won't receive it because Satan's building a stronghold up against you in your life. And you know what? There's many people in churches today that don't even see the stronghold. They don't recognize it because, well, that's what they've always been taught. That's what they've always been taught. Mama used to say that all the time. Dad used to tell me this. And we go off of what other people say rather than the Word of God. So when you hear the Word, and the Word is being, whether you read it, whether you hear it with your ears, or you see it with your eyes, you listen to the Word of God, and the enemy comes and tries to bring doubt, saying, oh no, that's not what you believe. That's the voice of the devil, the enemy, trying to build a stronghold against the Word of God. That's the enemy trying to build a stronghold against the Word of God. And so we need to understand that we can pull down those strongholds when we use the Word of God. Okay? Excuse me. Let me go on and let's pull down some strongholds, all right? All right, it says, verse 14 of Luke chapter 8. Verse 14 says, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. Now, let me go over to Mark. I want to go over there and just read this again to you. I know we've read it before, but it says it just a little bit different, but I think it's important to see. It says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Okay? The cares of the world. What do we do with the cares of the world? What do we do with the cares of the world? What does the Bible say to do? Cast them on the Lord. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. What are we doing when we say that scripture? We are pulling down the stronghold of the cares of the world. Okay? What does it say about the deceitfulness of riches? What does the Bible say about the deceitfulness of riches? God will supply all of our needs according to His. I sow sparingly, I will reap sparingly, but if I sow bountifully, I will reap bountifully. It says that God is the one who gives us the power to make wealth. God says a lot about these issues, but if we don't know that, then the deceitfulness of riches is going to come in and take control. And then we're going to start working harder and harder and harder and longer trying to do what God said He would already do for us. So the lie of the enemy is God isn't enough. God isn't going to take care of us. God isn't going to do this for us. But the Word of God says He will. Then it comes in and it says, the third thing was the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. What does the Bible say about that? The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, He said to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then He will add all these other things to you. He will, if we seek Him first, not the desire for other things, but to seek Him. Not the desire for whatever it might be. Seek Him. He will take care of all the other things in our life. But we have to pull down that deception of, I got to have this. I got to have it. And go over here where it says, God, I want to seek You first. I want to seek You first, not these other things. I want to seek You first. I want You first in my life. You can take care of those other things, but I want to seek You. I want to seek You. I put my heart and my mind towards You. See, what we're doing is we're pulling down those strongholds of the enemy. When he comes in and says God isn't enough, when he comes in and says you got to work harder, when he comes in and tries to get you to look at all these other things and how come you don't have all that other stuff? How come you're not doing all this same thing everybody else? You're not taking vacations and going doing all... That's the deceitfulness of other things. Building up, well, I deserve this. No, we need to obey. We need to obey the Word of God. Listen to Him first. Seek Him first. Cast your cares upon Him. Quit worrying about it and just cast your care upon Him and say, God, I'm all Yours. You know what I need. Do you realize that the Bible says that He knows what we need before we even ask? It's not that He doesn't want me to ask. He just already knows it. When you go to prayer and you start telling Him all of your problems, it's not the first time He heard about it. He already knows that. What He wants us to know is He's the answer. Thank You, Jesus, that You supply all my needs. Thank You, Jesus, that the Word says that if I am a tither, we'll go back to Malachi, if you're a tither and you're paying your tithe, the Word says He will rebuke the devourer, Satan, for your sake. He will defeat the enemy for you if you're doing your part. Do you realize that When I quoted the scripture that He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory is based on the church that Paul was writing to, on their giving. Because they were givers, because they were taking care of Paul's needs, Paul said, God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. It was not based on some random thing, you know, that oh, God's going to do this for everybody. No, he was going to do that, it says, for the givers, the ones that are giving, the ones that are tithing, the ones that are participating in God's plan, doing it God's way, declaring what God says about the word, about whatever the situation is. Those are the ones he's working on their behalf. Well, I want that. So in order to get that, I have to go to the Word of God and find out what it says. I need to go to the Word of God and find out what it says about my life. And we read a bunch of those scriptures earlier. I need to speak the Word of God to find success. I need to meditate on the Word of God to find success. I'd give you a challenge. If you're having trouble sleeping at night, try memorizing a scripture. Just try, and maybe there's scriptures that you already know. Just start quoting scriptures as you're laying in your bed at night. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are around here. Not on the things that you can't do anything about at 10 o'clock at night. But you can. Just start saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Start quoting some of your favorite scriptures. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I will guarantee, when you set your mind on him, you start quoting scriptures, you won't remember the last one you quoted, because there's such a peace that comes over us. Such a rest that comes over us. And then, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you get up and go down to the little room at the end of the hall, there's going to be more scriptures that pop into your mind. And you're going to be thinking about more scriptures. And you go back and you lay down and you'll be dwelling on more scriptures on the Word. And so, we need to come into agreement with the Word to see the Word grow in our life. But it comes down to us coming into agreement and speaking the Word of God. There's a scripture I want to leave you with this morning. It says in Psalms 141, verse 3. This is an easy one. It's a short one. And it says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. God, set a guard over my mouth. How many have been in those conversations with somebody and you walked away and thought, I shouldn't have said that? Been there? Okay. God, set a guard over my mouth. Set a guard over my mouth, because I don't want to say those things. I don't want to participate in that. I don't want to participate in building a stronghold in somebody else's life. I want my words to pull down strongholds. Use the Word of God. Use the Word of God in your conversation. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. Do you know, if we are going to set up a guard over the door of our mouth, then what we need to do, I want to challenge you with this, is you have to tune your ears into that still, small voice. Because God's gonna warn you. I guarantee it. He will warn you. If you ask him to put up a guard, he will warn you in the midst of that conversation, don't go there. Then you have a choice whether to say it or not. It's your choice. God's not going to take that choice away. God's not going to take the free choice that we have away from us. But he will remind us. That's not what you wanted to do. Remember Sunday? You asked me to put a guard over your mouth. Here's your reminder. And that still small voice will say, don't go there. Cast your care upon me. I care for you. Cast your care on me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll give you what you need. Just trust me. See, the Spirit of God will remind us. The Spirit of God will set that guard over our mouth so that we can trust him with everyday events, every conversation. We can trust him with the word, the words of our lips. So, I'm going to pray for you, and I want you guys to pray. Remember, it's Psalms 141. Say it with me. Psalms 141, verse 3. That's the verse. Remember that. Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Very simple. And then listen for that still small voice to speak into your life, because he wants to pull down strongholds in your life. Well, we're doing this pulling down because we're the ones that have to speak the word of God. Come against every argument, every attempt the enemy comes at us to doubt the word of God. No, the word says. The word says. Or you could get real spiritual and say what Jesus said. It is written. Okay? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. See, that it's the same thing. God put a guard over my mouth. Let me speak what is written.